Welcome. It's lovely to have you all with us. Before we play that video, I want to just read this to you because hopefully you're reading your chapter a day with us. Let me get focused a little bit here. Hopefully you're reading a chapter a day on our webpage. We read a chapter a day. What are we reading at the moment? The Bible. If you said that, I might give you some points. What are we reading? Thessalonians, that's right. Guys, you need to. One part of oneness and being part of this body is that we are looking at the scriptures together because the Holy Spirit is doing something in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you go there with me, you can read it quickly. Verse 13. And I believe it's just what the Holy Spirit wants to do at this time. Please go read the whole of 1 Thessalonians, but here particularly just 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God when you received the word which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Did you get that? Many of us are sitting in church and we're listening to the word, but we're not receiving the word as being the very word of God, and therefore we disempower the word from working within us. And I believe the Holy Spirit being poured out is to give emphasis to the word. You cannot have the Holy Spirit without the word. They go together. That's part of the baptism. Baptizing water and in the Spirit. Baptizing the word, which is a picture of a water, baptizing the Spirit. You've got to have the two if you want to walk into the fullness of the kingdom. There's just a bit of a word base for what God was just doing right in our midst right now. And you can all go home and not be changed. Or you can go home and take this word into you and allow this word to empower you and to change you and to produce the very life of God in and through your life. Amen. Good. Back up. Let's go home. It was a good sermon. Thank you very much for last week, guys. I think it was a great weekend and awesome. I didn't realize. I thought we had let it slip, but Jade had no acknowledgement or no awareness of what was going on. And that was awesome that we were able to keep it a secret right until Sunday. And thank you. I trust you all had enough to eat downstairs and overseas and online. I'm sorry we didn't able to get you some. We don't do takeaways to Russia and to Sri Lanka and Malaysia. So unfortunately, you don't get it there. But thank you very much. Thank you to everybody that did a video of and a comment to him and a blessing over his life. And thank you to everybody that sowed into his life as well. And Jay started in the church. He actually was here before I got here. I got here 31 years ago, and Jay was about a 15-year-old boy, 14-year-old at the time when I got here, and he's grown up through the ranks, and he became a real servant in the house and a son of the house, and he has grown through maturity. He was ordained a couple of years ago as a pastor, and I'll tell you, he's grown in leaps and bounds in his understanding of who God is and his relationship with God and in the application and the preaching of the word, and I give thanks to God for that. I want to just pray a little bit of some pictures that maybe you didn't all see of Jay in his earlier days. So let's hit that video. Let's play this.
Inside of you, son, I'm looking out for you. Let my grace be there to carry you, son.
You didn't, with all the people standing at the church, Jay was actually right on the, on your side on the right. He would be actually left on the photograph, the very small guy on the right. So he's grown up through that. He did spend 2 years with Sally and myself in our home, and he had to cook every time. And so Sally and Jay have got this love-hate relationship that he always comes and licks her glasses so she can't see and then has to clean it. And she will always give him a hard time and do something towards him. And so we are really blessed to have a son like that in the house. And I believe we are blessed to have each and every one of you in the house, because you're all sons in his house and you're all sons of this house. And our desire is that we grow together in the things of the Lord. Amen. Father, we want to thank you for this day, and we want to come and just yield ourselves to you afresh. And that, Father, you would come and just minister to each and every one of us. We ask, Father, that you just come and release your spirit afresh upon us and pour out your spirit. And Father, baptize us this day in your spirit, in what you are doing across the world. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen and amen. One of the things that we need to understand, we've been looking at the principle of oneness. I think we need to understand oneness of the Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit operates in oneness. He operates in oneness with the Father and with Jesus Christ. I think when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we've also got to understand He's God. And He is the God who's now here on earth, and He is the executor of the will of Father God. And here is the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the executor to make sure this word gets established in His people for His glory and for His honor, and to establish the eternal purposes of God on earth today. The Holy Spirit is not here to make us only look happy and to make sure we get a shake and a rattle and a roll. If we miss the important thing of why the Holy Spirit comes, is to transform us into the image and likeness of Jesus and to be the executor of the word, we're going to miss a lot of what the Holy Spirit does on the earth today. But He operates out of oneness, and He operates from oneness, and within that He understands the governance and the order and the structure in the Godhead, and He still operates in oneness. Within the oneness and Him being God, He defers and refers to Jesus, and He will not do anything on earth but what Jesus tells Him to do. And Jesus doesn't do anything but what the Father tells Him to do. So we understand that the Holy Spirit refers and defers and honors Jesus and honors the Father. And the Father honors Jesus and Jesus honors the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you can blaspheme against me, but you just don't blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And He's beginning to put the boundaries around them. That's part of His honor of the Holy Spirit. And I think we've got to get to an understanding. And I've challenged the staff this week, and I want to challenge you. We've got to start thinking about the function of the Holy Spirit in this new season. And I want to tell you, there's certain emphases that He wants to bring into the church at this time. And He is God. He's not a little God, and He's not a separate God. He is God, three in one. And He is the one who's been entrusted with the work of the Godhead on earth today. And He wants to begin to bring it into a greater fulfillment and measure of the work of the Godhead, and particularly of the work of the Father, for His glory and for His honor on the earth today. And He wants to do that in our midst. And I believe what we need to do is we need to get into the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. We need to get into line with what the Holy Spirit's doing at this time in the season. And I referred to it a little bit early on, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is building oneness at this time. If we're going to truly step into this season, we've got to operate from a principle of oneness. Oneness with Him and oneness with one another. And that's going to release an incredible, powerful force, which we're going to then start seeing the miraculous and the supernatural like we've never seen before. But in the old season, it was all about the signs and wonders. This season's not about the signs and wonders only. Actually, I want to almost go to this point to say it's not about signs and wonders. It's about the sign and the wonder of the Holy Spirit in your life first. With you believing and receiving the word. When you believe and receive the word, then you're going to find that He's going to empower that word within you and change you. And then you're going to begin to start seeing that you're going to be positioned under an open heaven. And you're going to be able to see the kingdom of God being manifested through your life. And then you are going to see signs and wonders in your life. But it's not signs and wonders over there that you're looking for. It's an alignment with yourself into the things of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, coming under the principles of the kingdom, becoming under the obedience to the word of God. And when you do that, you're going to start seeing the miraculous, and you're going to start seeing signs and wonders. And so what am I saying? This season is not about running off to signs and wonders. This season is about running off to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and letting the word of God transform you. And when the word of God transforms you, you will start seeing the miraculous. And you will start seeing signs and wonders like you've never seen before. I believe Paul, in all his writing, and when he talks about the Holy Spirit, and even Jesus, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, is inviting us to become a portal through which the Holy Spirit can operate on the earth today by transforming the natural and bringing the supernatural into our lives. He wants to begin to do that. This whole oneness that the Lord has is to produce this portal that brings heaven to earth. And if we desire oneness with Him, we've got to let our hearts be one with Him. You cannot be divided. You cannot be confused. You cannot be distracted. You've got to be one with him, one with his eternal purpose, one with his word. You've got to let the word read you. You've got to let the word transform you. You've got to let the word in you empower you so that you can become what God has ordained. What we've been talking about is that God's got us on a journey. And this journey, I believe, is to understand oneness because he's taken us to Zion. But to get to Zion, we've got to go through Adullam. We've got to go through Hebron. We then got to get to Zion. And you cannot shortcut that. It's a journey of a process that you and I have to go through. I'm just going to mention quickly because, you know, I don't know if you've ever had this. Maybe you haven't because you don't often preach. But this morning, in the early hours of the morning, I had a vivid dream of the Holy Spirit changing my message this morning. And he did. So my notes actually mean nothing. So I don't know why I'm looking down. And, you know, I was taken by such fear in this dream because I was going to get up and now everything I'd prepared, the Holy Spirit wasn't going to do something else. And I believe he does want to do that. And I believe it's in line with this thing of believing and receiving what God wants to do. But in order to do that, you've got to understand that all comes out of a principle of oneness. So I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Gary, I left my tablet open on the desk there. And Gary said to Tammy, I can quickly delete stuff. How long do you want the sermon to be? Well, today doesn't matter because actually I'm not going to be looking at my notes. So Gary, good one, but it didn't quite work. That would have just confirmed God's word to you in the middle of the night. Do we have a Rebecca in the church? Second name Rebecca, first name Rebecca. Who's Rebecca? Baby Rebecca. Yes, I want you to come up front here for me. Because God said to me, I want to marry Rebecca. I want her to be a person who will carry my presence like no other person has ever done. Is she in the cry room? Mother's room, not the cry room, eh? Is she able to come forward?
I can maybe ask.
Ask, even if you come late in the sermon, come. But I want her to be here. Is there any other Rebecca? Because I want to tell you, I believe not only with Rebecca, what God was showing me is that Rebecca's going to carry, not only carry, but is going to be absolutely baptized, immersed, submersed, going to be saturated with the Holy Spirit, and is going to carry the light of the glory of God like people haven't seen before. But I believe that's true for each and every one of us as well. We are going to Hebrews, aren't we? We're going to Hebrews chapter 6. And I'm going to read from the 11th verse. Here comes Rebecca. Here she comes. Melissa, Daryl, come. Wow. I'm going to ask you just to raise your right hand with me. And incredible. I mean, God gave me the word Rebecca, and I still looked through my brain quickly. Do we have a Rebecca? And I couldn't find a Rebecca. And I apologize for that. I should remember. But we haven't dedicated her yet, have we? Have we?
No.
So that's my wife slipped up. Father, I want to thank you for this gift that you've given Daryl and Melissa. And Lord, I want to thank you for the word that you gave me for her. And now I release that word, Father, that she's going to be filled and anointed and baptized and saturated with your Spirit. And she's going to carry your anointing, your wisdom and your revelation. And Father, carry the ability, because of your word dwelling richly in her, to manifest signs and wonders and miracles for your glory and for your honor. We ask this in your precious name. And we release it and declare it over you. Great, Rebecca, in Jesus' name, amen. Here we go. And she said amen by spitting the dummy out. Awesome. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Okay, where was I? Hebrews 6, verse 11. Okay. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of the hope until the end. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith have patiently inherited the promise. For when God has made the promise to Abraham, since he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as a confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable of his purpose, interposed with an oath, What is he saying in this whole passage? Paul is saying he wants us to understand that God cannot lie. God cannot change. When God made a promise that we were going to receive the Holy Spirit, that won't change. But you've got to believe that. It's got to become a hope that is within you, that you walk within it in the continuation. He then says, so by the two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have a strong encouragement and take hold of the hope set before us. And this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus entered as the forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And that promise is of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3 quickly. And you won't find anything coming on the screen because the scriptures I sent are not these scriptures. And so they haven't got them. So it's always a good point to bring your own Bible. Or if you've got a cell phone, get it online. I think that's always important that you do receive that. I'm going to just read from Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 14 down. Just pick up there, and please go read even from further on in Galatians 3. It says, let's read verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Did you get that? Hebrews 6 says that this is unchangeable. God cannot lie. It's immutable. It cannot be moved. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for us. We've got to understand that. This is a promise of God coming and putting his very Zoe life of God within us, so that the word of God can be written on our heart, so that we can be transformed to and conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, and so that through the Holy Spirit and with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need in the Holy Spirit, which is in Christ. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father. And you are then in Christ. And it is him in you and through you and around you that is to begin to bring the purposes of God to bear in your life. Carrying on in verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the terms of human relationship. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds to its condition. Now the promise was spoken to Abraham and to his seed. And he does not say to seeds, but referring to many, but rather to your seed, that is Christ. What am I saying is this. The law which came 430 years does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. And so he's saying the law does not take away the promise that Jesus is going to come and that we're going to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions having been ordained through angels by the agency of mediators until the seed would come to whom the promise has been made. And God wants us to understand this promise, and the word in the Greek for promise is that it is not something that is wishful thinking. This is a secure, definite promise that it's money in the bank. This is, you've got the money in the bank and then somebody phones you and says the money's in the bank. This is not the check is in the mail. This is go open up your bank, the money's in the bank. Promise. It is secure. It is definite. It's happened. It's happening. And God says it's there for you. And I believe God wants us to come and step into his purposes and his plan of understanding God's governance through the Holy Spirit to bring us into this place of fullness. And this promise is us. We are the inheritors of it. That the promise might come to the Gentiles, as Galatians says, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. We're going to break bread today as we're going to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. afresh upon our lives. And I'm asking that you would begin to, by faith, receive that word. Believe that word. Let the word come and dwell within you so that actually you might be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Go with me quickly to Acts chapter 1. And the guys that were praying for me this morning, they came and gave me this word out of Acts. And I want to just give it to you this morning as well. So let's go to Acts chapter 1 and let's just read here. Gathering them together in verse 4, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, to wait for what the Father had promised. Have you got this? They were wanting to go out and go and turn the world upside down. And Jesus is saying, listen, boys, you cannot do anything until you understand that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Until you have the power of the word being manifested in your life, are you able to go and perform the works and the miracles that I desire to do through you? But you must go wait for this promise, which the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit in not many days from now. So when they come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom? And he says, don't get ahead of yourself. It is not for you to know the times and the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then Jesus told him to go wait in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, if you go to Acts chapter 2, just go there with me quickly. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, we need to understand they were in oneness. The Bible says they were in one accord. That word one accord includes this whole principle of oneness. What were they doing? They were sitting there studying the word of God. They were breaking into songs of praise and singing hymns the whole night long. They were in the principle of oneness. And out of this principle of oneness, then the Holy Spirit began to breathe upon the whole building. But I want you to note that the room that they were in was filled first. Then they were filled. Did you get that? It says, on the day of Pentecost, when they were gathered in one place, suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Because of the principle of oneness, the whole place where they were gathering, it was there. And you know what? You might have not been reading the Bible at that time. You might have been thinking about roomies and ice cream and lamb for lunch. You might have been really focusing on the Lord. You might have been in Jeremiah, Isaiah. You might have been in one of the scriptures of the Old Covenant. Really trying to get the heart of Father, asking the question, meditating on what is this promise? What is this promise? Remembering the prophecy out of Isaiah 58, understanding that God was saying that I'm going to do something in the last day. And unbeknown to them, boom, the Holy Spirit just moves upon the whole place where they're gathering. And they are totally immersed in, saturated with, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there's a difference. Jesus said that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not necessarily baptized in the Holy Spirit. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptism is of a higher level than infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to begin to understand that. So he says that's what's going to happen. And it says they appeared to them as tongues of fire, distributing themselves as they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, I think many times we make a little mistake. We think that baptism in the Holy Spirit is always evident by speaking in tongues. It's not always evident. Because there's no proof that everybody spoke in tongues, but some of them spoke in tongues. And why were they speaking in tongues? Because they weren't speaking in tongues as a sign. They were speaking in tongues because God wanted to declare his word to the nations that were gathering in Israel at that time. They were prophesying in the spirit. They were prophesying in the spirit. Because it tells us that everybody was convicted because they heard of the mighty deeds of God through people who didn't know their language, and they were speaking their language, but they were speaking the language of prophecy, so that it brought conviction to the people. I believe in this new season, I believe God's going to begin to release the spirit of prophecy upon the church. And this is not the prophetic that's weird and wonderful, because the word for prophecy in the Greek comes from two words, and it means before, to make shine. In other words, we stand before God and we make his word known so that people can see who God is. And all it is taking the word of God and proclaiming it to people. Hello? Actually, of all the gifts, if you go read it, Paul says, I pray in tongues and more than any one of you. And I'd rather that when we gather in the house that you would prophesy. Tongues is a personal gift. And if it does happen in the body, there must be interpretation. And God is faithful in this house. But he says, I'd rather that you prophesy. Actually, when Moses, the Spirit came upon Moses, and they came to him and said, but everybody else is prophesying. How can it be? He says, or the 70 other people, elders, were prophesying. He says, it is my desire that all would prophesy. How many of you know that Joel, that Jesus, that Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2? Go there with me. Let's just read Acts chapter 2. You can go read Joel chapter 2 yourself. I don't think we have enough time to do both of those. But you can go to Joel chapter 2 with me. And I'm just going to read from verse 16. Sorry, Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. And you can go read Joel chapter 2 yourself when you get home. But this is what it says. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day, which is about 9 o'clock. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That is to declare the majesty and the glory and the exaltation, to bring to light the heart of Father to work through the world by communicating his word. Prophesy. This is not special revelation, and there is for the word of a prophet, but this is not prophesying. And even if a prophet quotes, it prophesies and it doesn't, it's not in line with the word of God, you do not accept that prophecy. For this word is more sure than prophecy. 1 Peter tells us that. More secure than prophecy. And I believe God wants us to start declaring the word of God to one another more. Why? Because when we have the word declared to us, we're able to receive it. We're able to believe it. It's able to come and do its work within us to transform us so that we can see the supernatural. We can see signs and wonders and we can experience the miraculous. He then carries on. Please understand, he says all flesh. It's not all flesh. It's all those who believe in Jesus. For the promise of Abraham is to those who believe by faith. And it's credited unto them as righteousness. That's all flesh. Because all flesh would mean everybody would have done it. But it was just upon the 120 that were gathering there that they began to speak and declare the majesty and the work of God with a tongue. And let me tell you, there were people speaking Hebrew or whatever the language was of that day. They were speaking it at that time so the people could even, they could hear of the mighty works of God. And it says God added 3,000 members to the church at that day. He then carries on and says, and your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. That's, maybe I'm old, so I'm now in the dream side. But what he's saying is your young men and your old men, because of them being baptized in the Spirit, are now going to have connection with heaven, and they are going to have access into the eternal, and they're going to start seeing, they're going to start dreaming of the things and the purposes and the plans of God, and God's going to show them from his perspective what is going on in the world today and what the Word of God is. He He carries on. And even your bond slaves, both men and women, I will pour in those days forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Go read Joel. He only mentions prophecy once. In Acts, when Peter quotes it, he quotes prophecy twice. Because I believe prophecy is what God is wanting to release at this time across the earth. I believe it's what he was doing at that time. Because when we declare the word of God, the power of the Spirit of God takes that word and puts his life upon it and can bring conviction in people's lives and can transform people's lives. We've had it in this church. We've had God move sovereignly upon this church. And I've seen people's lives not been changed. Because they didn't receive the word. They got an experience and they got a little bit of hype and they got a little shake and a little bit of a rattle and a little bit of a roll. But they didn't believe it and receive it. And that experience carried them for maybe 2 months or 3 months, but it didn't change them. I'm sorry to say, some of those guys got divorced. After experiencing an incredible touch of God. God wants to move upon our lives. He wants to begin to transform us. He wants us to see the miraculous. But it's got to come out of that intimate relationship of oneness with him and within oneness of one another. If we're going to rule as the order of Melchizedek, it comes out of a principle of oneness. I believe while we haven't experienced the manifestation of the firstborn sons of God and they're ruling and reigning with him as kings and priests on the earth today, it's because we're not operating out of oneness. We've still given an emphasis to our individuality. Ephesians, you can go read it at home. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3 says that we God, the spirit of oneness. Or oneness in the spirit. I'll get to you now, D. Oneness in the spirit. Guard it. He carries on Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. He says until we reach the maturity of oneness in faith. You see, oneness in the spirit enables us to get oneness of faith, which is in the belief of who Jesus Christ is, and that faith is now transforming me, and I now become the representation of Christ on earth. And there's a progression. You cannot get to oneness in faith if you've not got oneness in spirit. And if you want to say, if I want to give you a principle, it's Zion is about oneness in faith. Hebron is about oneness in spirit. When you get to oneness in faith, you're going to operate as the firstborn sons of God. You're going to know Papa. You're going to know Daddy. You're going to know it when you speak the word of God, which is upon his lips, and it's upon your mouth that he will do what you say. Because you're not saying what you want to say, you're saying what he wants you to say. Then we're going to start seeing the miraculous. And what you're going to do when you speak in the very word of God that's on God's word, God's mouth, which is his word, and you speak that word, I want to tell you, you're prophesying. And when you prophesy, it's going to become a reality. Revelation chapter 19, go read it. It says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And it's not thus says the Lord. It's saying this is the word of the Lord. Let me declare it before you. You see, I believe God wants to bring us to that place of oneness. You see, many times what happened in the old covenant was that we had the Holy Spirit coming upon people. I used this a little while ago, but maybe many of you haven't seen it, but it's about the Holy Spirit coming on you. Like a cape. Do you know what? We've actually got biblical evidence that many people in the Old Covenant were filled with the Holy Spirit. So not only did the Holy Spirit come upon them, but the Holy Spirit filled them. But that's not baptism. When God says, I'm going to baptize you, this is what God does. He comes to you and he baptizes you, fully immersed in water. And you now become one in the Spirit. You are immersed. It means you are totally immersed in and saturated with the Holy Spirit. And you at the same time get filled with the Holy Spirit. Or you can say, all I want to do is be filled. And you're going to leak. But when you're immersed, if you leak, you're just filled automatically. That's why Paul says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. When you get revelation of being baptized in, and the word baptized means to be absolutely immersed in. And actually, the picture that is used here in the book of Acts and in Jesus with baptism is a picture of you taking a garment and putting it into dye. And when you put it into the dye, you baptize it. And when it comes out, it is changed. It takes upon that self the character and the nature of what was in there. But what God has been showing me is that baptism is not a once-off event. Baptism is a state and a position in which we live by faith. Or you can have your little cape and float around. And that's old covenant. But Jesus said, I'm taking you to another level. I'm taking you to baptism. Because I want you to understand oneness. When you look at that glass in that day, please understand the Holy Spirit doesn't have a vase around him. He's not contained in a vase. But what it says is that somewhere around me, God just puts a whole surrounding of the Holy Spirit, that he takes me and he immerses me in there so that I would become pickled, not with alcohol. Nah. But you know when a person drinks a lot, they get quite pickled when they drink of the other substance. How many of you know people when they get pickled? When they get pickled, they are quite pickled. But when they get pickled, you can actually smell it on them. Have you noticed that? Have you had any pickled onions lately? But when you have a pickled onion, you can smell the vinegar on it. And it takes on the substance of, but it still looks like an onion. Nay. You get pickled. When we get pickled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you should carry the fragrance of Jesus. That when people come to you, the first thing they're getting is Jesus. So I'm coming to Tim. As I'm walking to Tim, he's getting pickled with what I'm pickled with. So that when I come and contact him, there's already, and you have experienced this in your own life, there is a union, there is a oneness in the Spirit that actually I know, wow, this man is a child of God. And now when my communication comes, it gets seasoned with grace. Why is it with grace? Because it's coming through the Holy Spirit. Even it might be, Tim, you should have shaved this morning. He receives that in love as the word from the Lord. I wouldn't say that, but you know what I'm saying? If I brought you the word and it was that word of correction, that word of correction is still the word of the Lord. And it's still through the Holy Spirit and with grace. But now because you're in the grace of the Holy Spirit and in the oneness of the Spirit, you receive that word. Now you can say, I don't want to receive that word. And so when I come around you and the Holy Spirit comes around and wants to immerse you, you say, I don't want to receive that. And you won't. You won't receive. And you'll go from that encounter unchanged. I understand that, Tim. I appreciate that. But do you get the picture? And many times we think that this oneness in the Spirit is lovey-dovey. It's not lovey-dovey. It's true. It's righteous. It's pure. It's holy. And this is going to separate people in this new season. This is when Peter walked down the road and he had been baptized in, he was immersed in, he was pickled in. And he walks down the road and he's so pickled that this pickling process goes as far as his shadow. And as his shadow hits people, bang! Healing happens. And they go, whoa! They just got pickled with what he's pickled with. Now, you mustn't, I can't say that, we're in church, sorry. Don't be a prickly pear or a porcupine. Because when if you're a prickly pear or a porcupine, the only thing people are going to get from you is a prick. You know, guys, the word and the spirit are one. He wrote this to Timothy. If you did our chapter a day, you would have read it with us. All scripture is God breathed, profitable for correction, rebuke. I like it. He puts those two first. And encouragement and building up of. You can't have a building up until you get your butt kicked. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. But with the Word of God, He'll kick your butt. Or He'll kick you off your horse. You can choose. Today, I want us to come in afresh, receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, today, by faith, receive this as the Word of God. You receive the baptism by faith and understand He's going to pickle you in His presence. And that means He's going to pickle you in His Word. That if people touch you, what should come out of you is the Word. What the people are getting when they get pickled by the shadow is the Word. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and... Because he had been pickled in the Holy Spirit. What was coming out of him was the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. Bang. But you've got to believe it. You've got to receive it. We're going to come together and we're going to break bread together. And this word is called communion. And the word communion comes from two words. With oneness. That's where communion comes from. With oneness. Not with two-ness. Not with three-ness. Not with individuality. But with oneness. When we break bread, we come in and it's with oneness we do it. We do it with oneness with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we do it with oneness with one another. In other words, we then begin to understand one another. We've got to get in relationship with one another. We've got to see where one another's struggling. We've got to be able to pray for one another. It's not Pastor Joshua or Pastor Jay doing everything. It's us doing it. And if there's a call to participate in giving or sowing, I want to say to you, it's not the amount, but participate. Rather bring 1 rand and put it on the table or put 10 rand in the table and participate. Oneness. And that brings incredible blessing in your life. And don't tell me you don't have, because we all have. It just means you might have to fast a breakfast and a lunch. Well, Coke and chips or pizza and chips or fish and chips or Russians and chips. Oh, and for those of you that smoke, just a pack of smokes. But participate. I believe God's bringing us to that place where He wants us all to participate. That's oneness. That's where we get to where it says in Acts that they all had everything in common and nobody had need because they were able to share with one another. Oneness. I had a meeting of some business guys here this week, and I had an advocate come and talk to the guys, and he brought his daughter-in-law, or his stepdaughter with him, and she was saying, "Wow, Pastor Josh, look at all this stuff. God has been good." And I said, "Amen." And that reminded me of when we had Davi Rocha. One of the guys came and said, "I haven't been in this church for the last 10 years. And he's never been a member here, but he has visited. And he said, wow, incredible. Where did you get the money from? I said, from God and from the faithfulness of the body. This body has been faithful. That we can sit in a building like this debt-free. Because of the contributions and the faithfulness and the 10 rands and the 5 rands and the 100 rands that people gave in oneness that produced what God wants to do. And so this meal is about that oneness. And I want us to come this morning and just, I want us to partake in these elements. Understand that this is with oneness. You're not doing this as an individual. You're doing this as part of this house. You're doing this as part of the family of God. Actually, in Paul, in Corinthians 11, he says, this is why many of you are falling asleep. It's because you're not recognizing the body. This is the body of Christ in this locality that you belong to. And if we don't recognize one another, we're not recognizing Christ. Therefore, we have difficulties and pain and suffering in our lives. So I want to invite you to come and to take your little packet in your offikumen, wrapped up, hidden away for Jesus, the offikumen. Take it out and have it ready, available. You should have grape juice on your table around you. And please, let's be together with oneness, with one with Christ. And have an amen on that. Jesus, on the night when he betrayed, he took bread, after giving thanks. He broke it and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this with oneness. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take it and eat of it in Jesus' name. Do this remembering him, thanking him, remembering him, and that we are all now part of him because we're in Christ. If you've been born again of the Spirit, you're in Christ. And pray for one another. Then in the same way after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He took the cup of wrath that was poured out for many of us. And he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant. This is the sign and the seal in the new covenant, the cup of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for often as you drink of this, do this in remembrance of this. For this is a picture of the blood of Christ that was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Before you partake of it, if there's any people in the body you need to forgive, forgive them now. You guys, what is forgiveness? It comes from two words. For, give. You give in advance. For, before, give. Forgiveness shouldn't be a thing you do at the past or after the fact. Forgiveness is something you do before give. And maybe you must all forgive me now because we're going to go down some interesting times. That maybe down the road you might have to have forgiven me. Not after forgive me, but forgive. Giving in advance. This is paying it forward. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Because if you don't pay it forward, you're going to land up with bitterness in your life. And you're going to pick up offenses. But if I've paid it forward, you know what? You can't offend me. Because you are forgiven. I've given you grace in advance. Take, drink of it. Do this as his blood cleanses you and washes you based on the confession of your sins and receive his redemption and know that the wrath of God that was poured out in Jesus is not yours anymore, but that your cup is now empty in Jesus' name. Take and drink of it. Now let's just sit quietly and wait. Wait for the promise. You might have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but maybe today you're getting some understanding and revelation of what it means to be baptized in, to be immersed and to be saturated in. And you come and you say, I'm here, Holy Spirit. Come and immerse me in you. Jesus, you are the baptizer. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Come and immerse me. Pickle me. That I might be saturated with your presence. Permeate my very body, my soul, my emotion, my mind, and my will. Bring the life of God. Bring the life to the Word of God. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We come and we receive that by faith this morning. We receive your word. We believe your word. Cause the life of God to flow through us and in us. Part of the pickling process is to take the pots and the pans from Puff Udder, which is all your haha stuff, out of your life so that you can truly reflect him. Come, Holy Spirit, downstairs, upstairs, just receive. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You must come like Peter and say, don't just wash my feet, wash my everything. This is how you do John 15. If you abide in me, and I abide in you, you will produce much fruit. This is how you abide in him. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. That's just the quiet stillness of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You might sense God causing the word to quicken within you. That's right. That's just the Holy Spirit. I encourage you, go home. Sit in the presence of the Lord. Ask him to baptize you afresh and to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Because in our baptism, we have everything we need pertaining to life on earth. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all the promises are yes and amen. He's God. He's a person. John 16, he says it this way. Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine, and he will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine and discloses it to you. So if he's taking what of Jesus, he's taking of what is of the Father, and he's disclosing it to you. Because everything the Father has is given to Jesus. Hence I say, everything we have need of is in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and in the Spirit of Christ. Acts says it this way, in him I live and move and have my being. Because I am pickled in him. My whole being is moving in the oneness of the Godhead found in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul can say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. That's just the Holy Spirit just washing all over you. But if you will receive this today and believe it and allow the Holy Spirit to come and cause this word to grow within you, empower it in you, you are going to be transformed. And you're going to walk in a new dimension with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit like you've never done before. Is there anybody that's really got a word that's been pounding in your heart? All right, bring me a mic, please. Any word of the mighty deeds of God? I believe that, you know, what you read out of Psalm 37 was just this. Powerful. Elvin, can you read it again for me, please? Yeah, the one that you read first off.
Jeremiah 23, verse 3.
Okay.
But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Have you got it? Was it Psalm 77?
Yeah. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works. That one?
Yeah.
And meditate on all your mighty deeds. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples.
Amen. Amen. You know what? You need to understand. You must get saturated in the Holy Spirit before you go to bed. So, Father, we just want to commit each and every single person to you. The Lord, that they would carry your presence, that carry your word as they go from here. And Lord, that this word will be rooted and grounded within them to bring them into a new dimension of oneness with you, oneness within the body, that we can accomplish your eternal purpose here on earth, that we can be rightly positioned. To administrate your governance as kings and priests of the order of Melchizedek on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. JP, Chantel, where you? Won't you come up front for me, please? They are migrating. Yeah, and I use the word migrate for a specific reason. Do you know what migrate means? Migrate is a cyclical thing. You go and you come back. They are migrating for a season to Dubai. And we're going to need to be praying for them as they go there. I believe they've got to do 2 weeks in Namibia. Is that going to be holiday time?
A little bit.
I like that.
A work vacation.
Are you going to be on Swakopmund on the beach or are you going to be in Windhoek?
There will be some traveling. So
both. That's nice. Are you going up to Etosha?
Not that far.
I mean, it's a little bit hard, eh?
Hey, I know, I understand that. But, you know, you've got 14 days now.
Yeah.
And then they're going up to Dubai to take over a promotion in his business, which is phenomenal. And I believe this man has got incredible wisdom and anointing and gifting on his life. And this is just recognition of the company on what God's gift in his life is. And we're going to miss you. But we know, that's why I say it's migrating. And you'll hear the Lord when it comes. So that's good. So please raise your hands with me. Let's pray for them. Father, we want to thank you for the gift that you've deposited in this body. And Father, we release him to your care and into the house of the Lord over there. And Lord, we thank you that your hand will be upon them and that your angels will go before them. And I pray, Father, your continual anointing upon JP and Chantel. And that, Father, as JP takes up that position, that the wisdom of Christ will be manifested. And Lord, I even declare a greater promotion in his life for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Bless you guys. Awesome. Thank you. You might have a blessed week, and we'll see you again next week. Continue to meditate on what God has given you today. Amen.